show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 expresses only opinions of the hosts. We don't speak for the litany of alphabet-driven programs.
We just speak for us?
We only speak for us.
Kinda.
Yeah, not that well, though.
No.
What I will say is, I'll name the big three. And this could be arguable. Some people say it would be the big two, but I always say the big three, which is AA, NA, and CA. We don't speak for them.
No.
Or any of the other guys.
Yeah.
Welcome to Recovery.
I'm not sure we want to speak for any of the other ones, but
I want to speak for Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous.
Do you?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I'm going to go to a meeting, sit next to some chick that looks like she's ready to slip.
Yeah, you do that.
Welcome to Recovery 101. Shelly's like, you do that, because I already be sitting there. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Shelly does that. She doesn't want to admit it. She goes
what?
To Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, looks for a hot brunette that kind of looks like Angelina Jolie, sits behind him and
Ricky.
Starts whispering stuff in her ear like, oh, baby. Oh, baby. You got to wonder, that would be...
Will you be my sponsor?
That would be tough, I would think, to be a sex and love addict. Because even like, it'd be like being an alcoholic and watching beer commercials all the time. Because we know that in America, sex sells. So everything's got these half slutty looking model type people. And I could just see being some type of sex addict. It'd be like being a crack addict and see commercials for crack on TV.
Yeah. I have a question about that. If a whole meeting got together, had an eight-hour orgy, would that be a marathon meeting?
I'm sure it would be considered going out.
Or a convention?
Can you imagine? I can see it now. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous convention at the same time as Comic-Con or something. Oh, my God. Because I'll tell you what, when we were at that one in CA in San Diego.
With the anime convention?
There was a large amount of people dressed in gear, anime gear. And some of it quite appealing.
Yeah.
And it was funny because it reminds me of this poster I saw one time. And it's like, nerds who can get lucky. And it shows this chick and she's in like this anime outfit. And it says, because she might actually want to hear about your 12th level paladin. Sweet.
Dude.
So, Shelly, how was your day today? Shelly.
What?
You going to hop in on this conversation we were just having?
Yes.
Are you done texting now?
Yes. Dying of the heat. The fan is turned this way. Maybe we can turn the fan, like bend it down.
Certainly, Shelly. Whatever you wish.
Whatever you'd like. So, Shelly.
What?
What do you have to comment on what we were just talking about for the last 3 minutes?
I have not a clue what you're talking about.
I want to see if you're multitasking.
No, I'm not.
We talked about what would happen if you had Sexaholics Anonymous.
That's better.
Or Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Convention at the same time there was the anime convention going on, Comic-Con or something.
I don't know, probably nothing.
Okay, then, how was your day?
In Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, a slip ain't nothing but lingerie.
Slip is something to put your hand up.
Yeah.
My day was okay. I was hoping to get more done today, and I didn't because I'm a big slub. Now I feel like crap, so I'm a bit annoyed with myself.
Huh. I got lots done today. I moved a whole bedroom full of furniture.
My mind is just running through an entire series of jokes to do with Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm trying desperately not to throw them in on your guys' day.
Should we move to the next segment so we don't have to do that?
Yeah, so we don't have to hear about all
that. Mark,
yes?
What did you do today?
I just heard.
I know, but, how much stuff? A grip?
A grip. I moved the entire master bedroom downstairs to the new master bedroom upstairs.
Shelly, where does a grip fit into Shelly's weights and measures?
A grip would be not as much as a buttload.
But more than a metric crap ton?
I think that you might have moved a buttload.
Yeah, I might have. At least a metric crap ton.
A half a metric crap ton would be 115 buttloads is a metric crap ton.
Okay.
So it would be like...
I moved 117
okay. crap tons. 117 buttloads. Wow.
It was lots of stuff.
Well, you know what that means.
What?
Thank God.
You're welcome.
Well, that means it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Okay.
You know what we need that dude from the Police Academy show. That guy was awesome.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Bill, who is starting to worry me.
Because he's not here.
Because he's not here. He's supposed to be here.
He was behind me 30 minutes ago on his way.
Let's see. Bill, Donald, Deborah. We have shout-outs to Sarah R. and to Katie T. from the UK.
Look.
Katie. That's almost like Katy Perry.
Only a T instead of a P.
I wonder if she kissed a girl and she liked it.
I don't know. But I feel bad because she said that she'd written in to see if we could do a shout-out to her before, and I don't remember the emails. So Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do.
I feel
and
bad.
I think that I might have thrown one once before, but I can't remember it. So she sent in a couple boozy news stories, which are actually not going to appear on this episode.
But we gave her the shout-out anyway.
But we're giving her a shout-out anyway so that she'll get like a double shout-out.
Because she made the effort.
Yes.
Yes, and they might appear on a future episode.
They are going to appear on a future episode.
Well, there you
because
go.
I like the one. I won't say what it is, but it's something to do with a landslide.
Okay.
All right. I'm sure there were other people that I'm missing now that sent in boozy news. Oh, Fran! How could I forget Fran?
Fran!
Holy crap, our number one Fran. She sent in some stuff.
Well, and
Fran's team is struggling a little bit right now.
Fran sent in like five things, like today or yesterday, and I sent in four, and none of those even made it onto the boozy news.
Oh yeah, yours did, because I went to Facebook first.
Shout out to
Bruce. Oh no, I sent you. Yeah, okay. The ones that I okay, good.
You're right.
I noticed I didn't get a shout.
Okay, blah blah blah.
You work here.
Shout out to Bruce.
You work here.
Thank you, Bruce. You're welcome, Bruce.
They're coming to take you away.
Ha-ha.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque!
Yes, at the New Mexico State Fair, they had a rather interesting shooting gallery.
Uh-oh.
There were several complaints that forced them to pull targets at the shooting gallery because the targets depicted Osama bin Laden and other Arab-dressed figures. And they were getting complaints that
the problem
targets
with that?
Were racist.
No, they're not racist. They're dead.
Well, apparently some of the targets were not specific, like, terrorists. They were just people dressed in Arab clothes.
Well, you know what would be brilliant? And someone would call it racist.
Hmm.
And it would be brilliant both ways. I could see a shooting gallery right now that had pictures of Obama and Romney. I think that would be a brilliant move from someone because someone will be shooting at one of the targets other than the other. I think that'd be brilliant.
It'd be like you should be able to vote that way.
You could vote. You know what? They could look at the end and see which targets are completely destroyed and which ones aren't.
Yeah.
My guess is the NRA is not going to be shooting at Romney as much.
No.
Shelly is holding her microphone planted against her head like so.
Is this going to be one of those things I have to edit out?
No.
Why?
Why?
Why, have you suddenly gone
You've
green
You've just gone
party?
On radio talking about
a
shooting targets of the president.
That's okay.
And the guy running for the other guy running for president.
It was a freedom of speech political thing.
Yeah, and it's not even political. I mentioned shooting both parties, and we're not talking about shooting actual people, for God's sake.
In Berlin.
Sweet. Is this Amberlin?
No, in Berlin. Germany.
Not Amberlin.
Damn.
In Berlin.
Shit. See, I was going there.
You were going there.
All I heard
You're
was,
still on Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous.
I thought it was a name.
Mayor Christian Uda.
Uga.
Uda.
Opened the first keg on the 179th Oktoberfest this week in Munich. Wait a minute. Oh, the story's out of Berlin. Sorry.
That's like throwing
Berliner.
That's like throwing out the first ball on opening day of the baseball season.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
6 million people are expected to descend on the beer tents for 16 days.
Why?
Last year?
Why is it only 16 days when there's 31 days in the month?
I don't know.
Last now they're kind of sounding like lightweights to me. Sorry, Sean.
Last year, they consumed 8 million 1-liter mugs of beer.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot of beer.
No, you know what, though? Think about it.
How many
There's
people?
6 million people. That's only like 1 liter beer and
how many
a
people?
Quarter.
6 million people. Eight
six
million
people. 8 million
liters of beer.
Liters?
Dude, if we
that's
had
not even a buzz.
If we had 6 million alcoholics, or they'd gone through 486 million gallons.
They also consumed 500,000 chickens, 120 oxen, and an unknown number of large doughy pretzels.
Were the oxen dead?
I'm assuming they were.
I hope so.
What I'd like to know is how many Fraulein's did they consume?
Bangarang.
Bangarang.
Do you know where Oktoberfest started?
I don't know when it started. It started in October. We're going to show a headache.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing this microphone faceplant all night, it sounds like. 200 years ago, the Bavarian Crown Prince Ludwig celebrated his wedding
Ludwig
in October.
Ludwig von Heineken?
And he had a giant public bash that anyone in the country was invited to. And then the public liked it so much that they decided to do it next year, even though there wasn't a wedding involved. And it just became an annual event after that.
Oh. Was Ludwig an alcoholic?
Ludwig, I don't know.
What a bummer for him. No program back then.
I know.
In Nashville, Tennessee. France.
I bet this came from France.
Yes. Now, to me, this sounds like one of those, why would you do that kind of, like the bonehead maneuvers.
It's like someone turning right in NASCAR?
No. A guy died after he was shot at the shopping center in Nashville West.
Yeah, that happens.
This last Saturday.
When you get shot, there's a chance of that.
Well, he and his brother had gone to meet two men regarding a Craigslist ad because they were going to sell these guys their guns. So they show up.
To give them the gun, the guy shoots them.
And the guy shot them.
With his own gun?
No. Actually, with their guns. They had guns. They went, and I'm like, why would you want to meet somebody in a parking lot to sell your guns off of Craigslist? How stupid is that?
If I wanted to sell a gun, to be honest with you, I'd probably go to a pawn shop. They're more than happy to buy your guns. That's one thing you'll always find at pawn shops is an outrageously good selection of guns. When zombie apocalypse happens, that's where I'm going to get
my guns.
You're
heading to
Alamo? Yeah, exactly.
Those guys there are very good shots, you know.
Pawn shop guys? Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are.
The guy down the street from your shop a few months ago took a guy out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he was coming in to rob the place. That is the stupidest place to go rob.
Where you
other than the armory. A pawn shop is the stupidest. They're all armed. They're all sitting during downtime reading Soldier of Fortune and practicing jumping over the counter to get down for a good shot.
Well, and the other thing is, too, these days, I don't know about in other parts of the country, but in L.A., to rob a liquor store is not that great an idea either, because almost all those guys are packing.
Yeah.
I guess Bill sent the story in for me because of all my migraines that I've been having.
Shout out to Bill, who's not here.
Who should be here, and I'm getting worried. That's who I was texting at the beginning of the show. He sent in a study that was done that up to a million people, this study was done in the UK, so a million people in the UK they have determined have probably are suffering from preventable headaches caused by taking too many over-the-counter painkillers to cure their headaches.
Really? Now that is kind of interesting.
Yes.
Which are the offending brands so we can make sure that they'll never sponsor this show?
No, not brands, like, you know. Ibuprofen and acetaminophen, like, you know, and aspirin, the things that people normally take for headaches.
So in other words, Bayer will never be sponsoring
the
show.
So the side effect of acetaminophen is headaches?
Well, if you take too much of it. Well, here's the thing is, I have always known about this. Yeah. My mom and I have called them rebound headaches for years, which is why when I have my migraines at night, I won't take anything during the day, even if I get a little headache, because I don't want it building up in my system. I don't want to get a rebound headache. I've known about them for years. So the fact that they're just now doing a study... Like, why didn't they just ask some migraine sufferers?
Why didn't you do a study?
I know. I could have made the money.
I have an amendment for this story.
What?
That
Go
goes
ahead.
Right along with what Shelley was saying.
What's up?
My dad's memorial service was yesterday. I have not worn my Dan Poist cowboy boots.
Dan Poist?
Dan Poist. Dan Post cowboy boots in a while. because my feet have gotten slightly wider, so they're a little harder to take the boot off. So at the end of the day, Shelly is out cold.
Finally.
Shelly wakes up every night in the middle of the night with a blistering headache. So I don't want to wake her up because I really need help taking these boots off.
He figured I was going to get one of my headaches and I'd
if I woke
out
her up.
Mm-hmm.
It took me for flipping ever to take my boots
off. You had to take rests.
I had to stop and rest numerous times because they would start to come off and I'm like wrenching and wrenching and I could feel my heel out of the thing a little. Then I had to stop and rest. I got all the cats are like rubbing up against me like, what's wrong, Dad? And then I'm like, argh. Finally I get the one boot off. It's been like, and I'm not kidding, like 25 minutes for a boot and several rest periods. And then I'm looking at the other boot and I'm like, you go back on the computer for a while.
So you put your boots back on?
No, I still had the one on.
That'd be funny.
I still had the one on. And I had to wrench that one off.
Ironically.
I used to have one of those wooden things that you'd stick your boot back in, you stand on the other end, but the dog chewed
ate it. Yeah, the dog ate it. Well, ironically, last night, I slept through the night, I mean, like, solid 8 hours.
Congrats.
I know, I was all excited this morning when I got up. When I got up this morning, I had a gigantic sleeping too much headache. But that one went away quick. But this, for the first, he needs me to wake up with a migraine in the middle of the night, the one time I don't.
Yeah, you should have taken your finger and put it under your thumb and just sat there and kept tapping her on the forehead with it for like 5 minutes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that would not have made me very happy. Okay, wait, where were we?
I need another one of those wooden things, though, to pop that thing out.
A boot remover?
Yeah.
Or you should go get yourself boots that are your size.
Well, what I need to do is get these the ones I have stretched.
Yeah, that would work, too.
Because I love my boots. I used to wear them every single day. Uh-huh.
The statistics are in, and this is now, quote-unquote, official.
Statistics are in. It takes Bruce an hour and a half to take his boots off.
They believe, this is the National Center for Health Statistics data that was gathered. They now believe that one of the leading causes of this is the poor economy, that the economy has driven the suicide rate up higher than those that are killed in car crashes in the U.S.
Wow.
And they believe that, I'm quoting here, it says, economic problems can impact how people feel about themselves and their futures as well as their relationships with family and friends.
They're just now finding that out?
Yeah.
Well, think about it. It talks about it in the big book.
Yeah.
From the big, Wall Street crasher, Bill W. talks about people throwing themselves out windows. See me bring
one?
That recovery right in there?
Way to jerk it back
from
to center.
From the big book?
Okay, Donald sent this one in. He's like, and he types in, wait
Donald
for
B?
It. Yeah. He types in, wait for it, wait for it. The Raiders-Steelers game. Two fans were rushed to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries because they tried to raise a flagpole into a high-voltage power line and were apparently zapped.
Apparently.
The Oakland Fire Department chief said that alcohol may have been a factor in the incident. To which Donald replied, you think?
You think? Now, were they from a particular team or were they a fan from each team?
It doesn't say. It just says Oakland tailgaters.
Well, you know what that means. Oakland fans.
Raider fans.
Awesome.
Okay, Deborah sent this one and she said it was mostly a picture, but it had a really funny caption. And she said, I know you guys can't really use this on the show. And I'm like, heck yeah, we can use this. This is hilarious. In Sudbury, Ontario, Canada.
Sudbury or Sudbury?
Sudbury, S-U-D-B-U-R-Y.
Should be Sudbury.
It should. They should have an Oktoberfest there right
now. Molson Golden.
A bunch of guys dressed up their truck with, what they did was they tied a dummy of a guy onto the roof, like a hunter, onto the roof of their truck. And then all the guys put on moose head masks and got in the car and drove around.
That's cool.
Isn't that hilarious? Now, unfortunately, they were charged because they caused six accidents with people, driving through town. You see moose driving the car and a guy strapped to the hood of the car.
Can you see the drunk guy?
Can I tell you, was a moose driving that car?
Well, unfortunately, they were also drinking.
So they
got pulled over and charged with causing a public mischief for causing the accidents and having open beers in the car.
Jimmy Kimmel, on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, did it one time. They tied a fake deer
yeah, I remember.
To the
yeah.
front of a car And then they had like a microphone in it, and like the deer had some animatronics in it. And people walk by and they go, "Buddy, buddy, can you untie me? This guy's going to take me home and try and eat me." And people are looking at it like, "What?
Hey, babe, lose the old guy."
Yeah.
Once you go deer, you never go back.
Yeah, well, you'd have to see it. So, Shelly, no one back home heard that.
Finally, there's Bill.
There he is.
Okay, Shelly.
What? Okay, here we go.
Some news.
Sorry.
The news is that Bill Piper has arrived.
Finally, just
at
showed
the peanut
up.
Gallery. I can't wait to hear the story of how many cities he's been in.
A new study, obviously this sent in by Bill, to which he replied, "No, thank you." Scientists have discovered that there may be a secret of longer life for men.
Divorce?
By doing historical research, they have found that eunuchs, castrated men, live an average of, I think it was, how many years was it? Many of them lived to a ripe old age of 100, but they were 130 times greater likely to live longer than men that were not castrated.
I have a question about that.
What?
Why would you want to?
I was going to say they'd be 100 times more likely to eat at the Y.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I would want to. They lived 14 to 19 years longer than other men.
But correct
me
if I'm wrong. The term eunuch, doesn't that kind of make it where you're not exactly a man anymore?
You still have the wee wee. You just don't have the testicles.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, it's actually a round-shaped device with two clamps on the end.
Oh, okay. That.
Sorry.
Wow, you didn't even give ample leg crossing time for that. Are you effing kidding me?
We got the idea.
Okay.
I don't want to live to be 110.
Okay, now I'm giving you ample leg crossing time.
Okay.
For this next story. This was in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Florida!
Yeah, Florida. There you go. Let's see.
Here's our friend Bill P.
Yes, finally.
After his whirlwind tour of Southern California.
Michael, thought you were behind me.
He was.
Michael Smariglio, an 18-year-old, shot himself in the penis and left testicle while he was cleaning his brand new gun.
Here's my big question. Brand new gun. Why is it loaded?
Yeah.
Well, here's my bigger question. Why wouldn't you assume every gun's loaded?
Yes.
Here's an even bigger question. Why would your brand new gun need to be cleaned? It's brand new.
You want to oil it.
Yeah, you'd want to make it shiny. But
you don't load it first and then oil it.
He may have taken the magazine out, but there may have been a round chambered. Who knows? It doesn't say in the story.
So he loaded the clip. He put the clip in. He chambered a
live round.
A live round. Then he took the clip out to clean the gun. This guy's just stupid. He deserves not to have a left testicle or his nuts. He deserves to have a pierced penis.
Well,
dude, he's going to have the world's largest
piercing.
Yeah, what do they call those things? A post.
Yeah.
Right through the middle of his.
Yeah.
What I find interesting, though, is that a year ago, another teenager, Joshua Cito, shot himself in the penis while grocery shopping in Chandler, Arizona. Now, how did that happen? You go grocery shopping and then you shoot yourself in the Johnson?
Well,
I don't get it.
That's called having a gun in your pocket.
Oh, okay. I see.
Or he was just happy to see me.
And then putting something in your pocket. Like, he goes out to comb his hair or something, sticks his comb back in his pocket and goes through the trigger hole or something.
Bang. Ow.
He reaches into the pocket with the money and the gun, trying to grab the money and grabs the trigger.
Now let's see.
This is what's going to be a water issue, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. We are way over time. Sorry, we have
no
to stop
kidding.
Right now. Okay, that was the end of the boozy news.
175 boozy news stories, and my God, we went over time.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College.
Absolutely. That Sober College, selfwillhappens.com. I think it's self-willhappens.com. That's the thing that their students put together. It's pretty cool. It's also got one of our players attached to it. So we have a topic.
We do.
You remember what it is?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Functioning addicts and alcoholics.
Shelley, how did this topic come up?
We had a listener who, for the purposes of this show, will remain nameless.
Do we have a first name? That would be anonymous. It's not like there's only one guy named Steve or something listening to the show.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to say.
Fine. What did he have to say, though?
Okay. You're afraid that someone will, some random person out there, you'll say the name Bob or something, and some random person will go, I'll bet that's Bill's brother.
Okay, so it was a guy named Phil, but not our old Phil. This is a new Phil.
A guy named Phil.
Yes.
Perfect.
He wrote in that he's concerned that he thinks he may be a functioning alcoholic. He's having trouble staying sober, and he wanted to hear what we had to say about functioning alcoholics. What are they? What do they do? Do we know any? Are we them? That sort of thing.
If he's having problems staying sober, he's clearly not functioning. It would be my first... Just off the top.
Well, I guess if he thinks he may be a functional alcoholic, that maybe he's – the reason why he's questioning all of this is that he still goes to work and pays his bills and does all that stuff. He just can't stop drinking.
Does he have a desire to?
He didn't say.
You know what I think? He must have some kind of desire to, or he wouldn't be trying.
And he wouldn't be listening to the show.
To us.
Well, let me start off by – I used to go to a meeting on Tuesday nights. And they called it the questions and answers meeting. I always wanted to put forward it should be the questions and opinions meeting. But it almost always happens that somewhere, sometime during that meeting, one of the questions that gets thrown in the hat to be asked is, how do I know if I'm an alcoholic? It doesn't say functioning alcoholic, but how do I know if I'm an alcoholic? The pat answer to that would always be, you're sitting in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous asking the question, how do I know if I'm an alcoholic? Your question's been answered. Because nobody that's normal sits around and wonders if they're an alcoholic or a functioning alcoholic. Nobody wonders that. Regular people never wonder that, in my opinion. I don't think he'd be even wondering if he was a functioning alcoholic if he wasn't an alcoholic. That's the kind of off-the-wall thing that only dope fiend alcoholics think of.
In We Can Recover, taken from the CA storybook, read at the beginning of CA meetings. Look around this room. You are surrounded.
You are.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
Well, if people wonder if they're functioning addicts and alcoholics, there's an easy way to find out. Go drink.
Go to the bar and try some controlled drinking.
Go drink. And drink until you have no control. Because if you could send an email, that means you still have some sort of computer function. You might still have a ways to go.
Now, that's almost like drunk dialing, though.
Yeah.
You know what? If you send an email after you drink enough, you're going to email all your exes because you know they can't wait to hear from you at 3 a.m. in the morning.
So.
3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, as opposed to 3 a.m. in the evening.
Yes.
At 3 a.m.
Thank you.
What do you think, Shelley?
I don't know. I mean, I grew up with a pretty Well, actually, maybe he wasn't. Never mind. Scratch that. I grew up in a completely dysfunctional quagmire. I don't know. I went through periods of being a functional alcoholic. I was still going to work. I was still doing the laundry. I was still picking the kids up from school. Still doing all of that stuff. It was just from 3:30 to 10, I was completely non-functioning. Well, that's not true.
Yard.
We had an awesome yard because I was drinking and gardening. But, you know, I mean, I was reasonably functional. I was just a complete asshat and had no relationships with anybody. I was completely miserable, and I was throwing up into a bucket every night. That's not very functional.
No.
Did you empty the bucket in the morning?
Yeah.
Then you were functional.
I can say this now because this person doesn't drink at all.
Yes.
And I don't know if this person would ever characterize themselves as having been an alcoholic, but my mother drank for years, years and years and years when I was growing up. And she always went to work. She always paid the bills. She always did all of that. And it wasn't until several people, unbeknownst to each other, said, hey, we can't hang out with you if you're going to drink, that my mom went, oh, shit. And then suddenly said, okay, then I quit. Because I think it's a question of denial. Because if I don't admit I'm an alcoholic, then it doesn't matter if I'm a functioning alcoholic or not, because I just don't admit I'm an alcoholic. And there are, to me, for people to admit they're alcoholics, something has to happen to make them think. It's got to be something outside themselves that they believe to be true.
A psychic change?
Well, because they don't believe it to be true themselves. It's like if I, people used to tell me, oh, you're a drug addict, you're an alcoholic. I said, no, I'm not. I am not. I quit every night when I go to bed.
That's right.
You know, it's like until I believed or until there was so much mounds of evidence dumped on me to remove the denial, and most people get that denial removed by some gigantic happening. They get a 502. They lose their job. Their wife leaves them. Mm-hmm. Their kids tell them to go F off. You know, it's usually something like that. So if this guy's a functioning alcoholic, all that means is that he's able to pay his bills and stuff. Doesn't make him not an alcoholic.
See, I've never understood the functioning alcoholic or functioning addict. I've never understood the term, because we went to a meeting today. Speaker, great speaker, says, until you walk in the room and sit down in a chair and raise your hand and say, my name's
so-and-so,
so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. Or I'm an addict, you're just a person who might use too much. But you're not an alcoholic until you sit down in a room and say, I am an alcoholic.
And I wonder if this person, because I don't know if it was specified, but I'm assuming because he said he has a hard time staying sober, that he's probably been to some meetings.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure he said he's a hard time staying sober. It sounded to me like he was sober but having a hard time with his sobriety.
Yes, yes, that's what I meant to say. Yes,
yeah.
That he was having
a
hard
he's
time
in,
with
he's
it.
In the program, he's sober. It doesn't sound like he's like going in and out. Just that he's starting to have thoughts.
Well, and I think that probably it's as a result of, you know, I hear all these people whose lives completely crushed and they lost everything, and he hasn't experienced that because he's functioning. And what I would say is, good for you. You still have your stuff. You still have your job. Now is the perfect time to get and stay sober. Because if you've been functioning, you probably haven't lost a lot yet. And I always talk about that elevator, you know, going down. You can get off at any floor you want. Seems to me he's gotten off at a fairly high floor. He can hear other people share about how horrible it got and should be grateful as hell that he's not getting, because functioning only stays functioning just so long.
Yeah.
I think everybody at one point is a functioning addict or alcoholic. I have a good friend who paints faux finishes on like really expensive houses and stuff. She's a heroin user. She's a functioning heroin user. But I was quick to tell her, honey, that's not going to stay like that forever.
No.
You know, why don't you quit now while you've still got stuff, while you still have your nice pad and your car and all this? Don't wait till you get to the sub-basement like I did and then suddenly go, oh, crap, I should have stopped years ago.
Just saying?
I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Shelly?
Yeah?
opinions.
My mind's suddenly gone blank. I mean, literally.
I'm going to say you notice I'm waiting till you're done with your thought.
I don't have a thought. That's the problem.
Mark?
Yes?
What do you think? Well, what should this person... If you were going to tell this person what they should do,
mm-hmm.
what would you... If you had a sponsor...
Why did you ask me that question? Jeez, you say opinions, but to him, he gets the big log question.
Okay, Shelley, what would you tell this person to do? I hadn't thought of it when I said it to you.
Well, you've already asked Mark.
It's not like we script... Oh, go ahead, Shelley. You could take the question.
I don't know. I would tell him to keep going to meetings and get a sponsor and just...
What if he's still going to meetings and he already has a sponsor? Because we don't know that's
followed,
not true.
Okay, even if he doesn't, if he's not sure that he's an alcoholic or he thinks he's a functioning alcoholic, keep going to meetings, get a sponsor, listen to your sponsor, work the steps, just keep doing the program. Because by the time he's done with the steps, he'll figure out whether he's an alcoholic or not. And it's not like it's going to hurt him.
No, it certainly won't hurt. Mark, same question.
I think he's clear that he's an alcoholic or an addict.
Even if he thinks he's a functioning alcoholic, he knows he's a functioning alcoholic.
I mean, I was a functioning addict.
For a while.
Yeah, until I no longer functioned. And I always functioned well as an addict until I quit.
So you were functioning?
I was a great addict.
You weren't a practicing addict.
I was a great addict. I was functioning. I was no longer practicing. I was now functioning as an addict. I didn't do anything else but that. So I was, obviously that was my profession. In my spare time, it was my hobby. But, you know, you do it all the time. And all of a sudden, the functioning things start falling off.
Yes. Little by little, one by one, in such a way that you might not even notice they're falling off.
Until suddenly you're looking going, what the F just happened? And it didn't. Just happened.
It's been happening slowly.
Yeah. So the best thing to do if you feel you're a functioning addict or alcoholic, in my humble opinion,
IMHO,
is to go to meetings, read the book, get a sponsor, and don't drink and use no matter what.
Now, to his other question, what is a functioning alcoholic? My opinion is what most people would call a functioning alcoholic. Is those people that drink and continue to drink, they don't miss school and or work, they pay their bills. To everyone else, they probably appear like they're not an alcoholic unless, of course, they drink with them.
They're a party animal.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like if you're at work, the people at work probably don't think you're an alcoholic at all until the Christmas party. And I love the thing, too, where they say most alcoholics have that strange thinking that nobody else knows they're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
My guess is that functioning alcoholics think that no one else even realizes they drink.
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked yesterday. I was at a memorial service, and there was a guy who outed himself.
Oh, no. Someone outed me
first.
That's
right. You got outed.
Yeah, I got outed by my daughter.
Like no one in the room knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, the problem is there were probably quite a few people in the room that didn't know. And... Was she needed a little primer on the word anonymity, which I gave her this morning.
Was it a problem? Well,
you know what? Like, I give a F.
I know you don't, but she knows a lot of people in the program, and she needs to know that that's not kosher.
Well, that'd be true, because you wouldn't want to out somebody else. Like me, I so don't care. But that's me, and most people... I got news. Probably 90% of that group at least knew.
Pastors didn't know.
Morley knew.
Yeah.
I love that guy's name. Yeah. Bob Morley. It's so like Bob Marley. Because you know that guy's smoking reefer.
Bob Morley and the Wailers?
Have you? Well, you saw him, the guy playing the guitar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Morley's cool.
I'd be surprised if he's not smoking some spiritual spleef on the side. He looks like a stoner.
I believe he has in the past.
Oh, like yesterday.
Like yesterday.
He looks like it. This is the same... This is the same guy that was going to order beer for the camp out.
True.
What's wrong with
a keg?
And what's wrong with that?
A keg for the camp out.
And what's wrong with that?
So they could have a few beers. And I'm thinking there's going to be like 15 guys there and 7 gallons of
beer. He looks just like a guy. Like, there was a guy I used to buy Coke from that probably could have aged to look exactly like him.
Yeah. He's a guitar playing hippie.
Yep.
So, Shelley, what would your final words on functioning alcoholics be?
It says in the readings that we should identify with the feelings being shared.
Ooh,
to look for the similarities, not the differences. I think that when people separate themselves by saying, I'm a functional alcoholic, or what the term I really hated was pure alcoholic, because it makes you sound like you're somehow better than all the other addicts and alcoholics. Therefore, you don't have to work as hard.
Cut.
Yeah, you don't have to work as hard, which is baloney, because the disease is the same for everybody. It treats everyone the same, and eventually you go through the same progression. So if you're a functional alcoholic now, that means you still have stuff. Keep your stuff
time
and stick
quit.
Around.
Mark, what's your final words?
If you're in this program and thinking about going out, remember the way you felt the day before the first day you came in. If you're willing to feel like that again, go ahead and go.
That's good. I think if you think you're a functioning alcoholic, that there are a number of people around you that already think you're an alcoholic. If you finally come to the conclusion, functioning or not, that you think you're an alcoholic, you are not the only one that knows. And you, like Shelley said, you still got your stuff. Time to stop and stay stopped. Apply the brakes liberally.
Pump the brakes, baby.
Use the emergency brake if you have to.
Yes.
Turn your wheels towards the curb on the hillside. Shelley.
Yes.
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can email. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. The new issue came out last week or the week before. Or something. We've had it here for
two days.
I still have one sitting on my desk at work.
Way to be anonymous.
Oh, everybody knows at work.
Just strew them about work.
Yeah, really. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
You know, you should put like a few of those in the periodical so if anybody checks them out.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I should actually.
I mean,
there
why,
is a little section in where we keep the newspapers where people can put community pamphlets and booklets and things. I should take a few over.
In. Yeah. And then see how many of them disappear.
Yes, that would be an interesting.
You know what I wanted to mention?
You know what?
Bruce?
Matter of fact, call Bruce and tell him to send you $1,000 and you're going to do a study.
Oh, yeah, perfect. I'll do the 12-Step Gazette study.
Yeah.
I have a better idea. We should have Bruce start making it on a different quality of paper, one that you could cut corners out of and fold up and put your dope in.
Like a bindle?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mike. Someone wants to listen to the show. How could they help us out?
Send money.
We're ranked number 2 today, by
Are
the
we?
Way.
What happened? Somebody.
We got beat out by DJ Paolo.
Oh, DJ Paolo had a new mixtape.
Every time on like Saturdays and Sundays, the DJs from Friday and Saturday mm-hmm. nights all download a zillion of his shows for Skyping his shows from him to use on their parties.
Okay. Go up on recovery101.net and listen to the show on the Podomatic site, because when you do that, that means you're counted into the numbers. When the show comes up and you're listening to the show, there's a button on there that says like. Click the button. Thank you. You've just been counted. If you're not yet a member of Podomatic, there will be a box come up asking you if you'd like to join. You do, and you will. So join Podomatic, then you are free at that point. Free at that
free.
Point. To like shows, to leave comments, to put us in your playlists, because when those DJs are playing those Friday and Saturday night parties, you could kick a Recovery 101 show in.
And you could put each show into a playlist.
Yes, you can. You can go back and put past shows.
I was going to mention that. If you are a recent listener, not a recent listener total, but a recent mm-hmm. listener on the Podomatic site where you've joined and you can comment and like and mm-hmm. things, you are encouraged to go back. If you've heard shows in the past that you liked, go back there to that show. You don't have to listen to the whole show again. Just click the like button. That helps.
Yeah.
I don't know why it helps.
I don't either, but
it
does.
It helps. It should be just download driven, but
I know. Do we have any email addresses, Bruce?
We do. Recovery_101@hotmail.com. Recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
We should change that website.
What, to get a job at...
No, the crack staff should be under iburnedupmylighter.com.
I burned up my lighter. I wasted an entire pack of Bix.com. God, someone's going to buy that domain name. And we've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelly?
Yes?
Where are our CDs?
They're
they're at the other end.
Shelly, pick somebody. My God, you know who they all are.
Who do you think the lead-out music's by today, Shelly?
I have a love, and the song is Irony of Life.
Perfect for us. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.